Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. Today's theme is consciousness, lifelong learning, and empowerment with YouTube yoga superstar Kino McGregor. Kino is an international yoga teacher. She's the author of 3 books, a world traveler, and co-founder of Miami Life Center. That's www.miamilifecenter.com. She is the founder of Miami Yoga Magazine, and Kino is a dedicated Ashtanga yoga practitioner. She's here today to share strategies for claiming our true self and sparking our divine nature. Kino, I am so thrilled to have you here. I love your work. I love your YouTube videos. I love what the message that you have. I mean, I am quite a fan.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a real joy because, you know, Kino, I don't know anyone who hasn't faced challenges and obstacles. I mean, we all go through that, and it can really feel like we fall into a black hole. We lose our faith, our hope.
Yeah.
I feel empty, this kind of, and then what we do is look outside of ourselves to feel better and try to fix the holes in our souls, which I see all the time in my work, and my work is inner work to kind of repair that. And it just makes things worse and worse. And yoga is a mind-body communion that takes us inside ourselves and brings our awareness back to ourselves. And I'm a regular yoga practitioner, and I so appreciate it. And in your words, how does that heal us? How does that coming back to ourselves benefit our lives? And why is it so important for us to do?
Well, the yoga practice is a path to the experience of the truth of who we really are. And when we seek happiness outside of ourselves, one of the main reasons that we do that is because we don't have a direct experience of our deepest self. So really without that direct experience, we're sort of flailing in the winds of life. And the purpose of the yoga practice is really to, again, give us that direct experience, to make the experiential truth of the inner being something that is tangible and real and palpable for everyone through the vehicle of the practice.
Well, I mean, I watched your beautiful video on several of your beautiful videos, and the one that really popped out to me is the one where you talked so much about this, of your own struggles with depression and how you were able to move through that. I mean, thank you so much for sharing that, because depression is a global phenomenon that is increasing and becoming, you know, the World Health Organization, it's one of the most debilitating diseases globally. When you share your journey, and not just I had depression, but that you can overcome it, and this, and the profound way in which it's something deep inside of us that we can find the truth, the light within us, that, you know, I bless your message. We need more of this for sure, and that's why I'm so thrilled to have you. Can you tell us more about that journey?
Well, for me, I wasn't able to sort of even have the correct diagnosis of suffering from depression until I'd gone through a few periods of it, and through the help of my therapist, she brought it to my attention that I'd actually gone through periods of depression starting from the time that I was 9 years old. And the last cycle that I went through was pretty devastating. I mean, there were just a whole host of decisions that I'd made and actions that I'd taken that had sort of all led to sort of like a dead end. And I tried my best to sort of make my life work, you could say. And essentially what ended up happening was that I just tied myself into sort of a deeper knot, and I was left not being able to take action from the place that I was normally taking action. And all of the sort of avenues that would normally make me feel good and sort of lift me up were exhausted, and they had become dead ends as well. So I was really left with nothing, you know. And even my practice started to, not be as satisfying. I actually lost for a period of time, I actually lost the inspiration to do my daily meditation practice, and I was still doing my physical asana practice, but I just felt as though I was descending deeper and deeper down. And I just remember feeling again and again like, okay, I got it. Like, I made these mistakes, and they led to these dead ends, and I get it now. But you know, the thing with life is that, you know, if you make a series of mistakes, you may have learned the lesson, but it doesn't mean that the people around you are ready to move on as well. And I felt like there were so many sort of dead ends in my life that I felt like, you know, if you have your computer and your computer gets stuck, right? And you can restart your computer a certain number of times. And if your computer is broken, you can turn it back to the manufacturer and it'll fix it and give it back to you. And I felt like my life needed a restart. And if it didn't need a restart, then it needed to be returned to the manufacturer. And I just felt like the extreme desire to just press that restart button. And there's really kind of like nothing that could give that to me. And it was just a really kind of confusing and dark period, I would say. And the thing that really sort of made the switch was I started to feel a direct experience of what I call a quiet voice of wisdom that's always available, but I never knew was available inside of my heart. And really, I think that so much of my depression, my periods of depression in the past, things that I'd experienced, came from my disconnection from that. And I was able to see that in many ways, my entire life has been spent really looking for God. And although I'd have these moments through my practice where I would experience it, and then I'd have, you know, and it would slip away from me. And then I would have these other moments where, again, where I'd experience the presence of God, and I would experience sort of like a timeless wisdom, and then it would be gone again. And I was looking for a permanent connection, and I really realized that. So it was really out of the darkness of that depression, sort of coming out of it and slowly taking steps to recognize the authenticity of that voice, to recognize the value of myself, and to really pay attention to listening with the heart and receiving those answers. And basically the entire paradigm of my life up until, I would say, that moment when I finally said yes and fully surrendered to that connection through the heart center, had been primarily operating in the level of the ego. It's been primarily operating in the level of, well, I think this is right, and this makes me feel good, and sort of these sort of, paradigm based on my wants or my desires. Whereas there was a substantive shift when I had a direct experience of, I had a direct experience really of God, and that fundamentally shifted the narrative of my life. So instead of asking, you know, what is it that I want in this moment, I started to ask, well, what is it that's God's will in this moment, rather than what is it that's my personal preference? What is, and to really, truly listen with my heart for the answer, and to not take action until I heard the answer definitively, and just to wait for it, you know? My whole patterning in the past would be to not think that I was worthy of that connection, and instead to try to, like, you know, do a bunch of things from the level of the ego, to fight for it, to work it, to engage in a bunch of activities that were really disconnected from that divine source.
Source, yeah. Well, beautifully said. I mean, my work is inner work, I do inner work every day in my life, and I know how important, and without that, it is an emptiness. It needs to be nurtured. And when I'm working with people who have had traumas or abuse or violation in their life where they haven't known that, one of the beautiful things about being able to get inside to your heart and into your light is that you know that you are whole and complete, so that no one took away your truth. And despite the abuse, despite the traumas or the challenges that we have, we can feel like we lose ourselves. And that heart connect is what brings us back to know that we are whole and complete inside, and to keep nurturing that. And so that powerful message that you give, and the whole presence and the opportunity through a platform like yoga for us to keep being able to find that within us, and to have to know our truth and own our truth and to tap into that, it's just an incredible gift. And, you know, your being online and passing on that message is just so valuable and and creates so much value to us out in the world, for sure. And so many blessings for sharing that.
Mm. Thank you.
And so one thing I think that stood out for me, because I can think the listeners might want to ask, is they were like, okay, you were doing yoga, you were doing this, but you were still going through depression. How long, because, I mean, that's what people are always want to know, like, what was the journey? Like, was it a long journey towards that heart, or was it a continual, like, what? Because, I mean, people always, I say that not because I think life is a process, and I totally respect that, and I believe that completely, but I know that people can go through those kind of thinking that can make a roadblock towards your own transformation when you start thinking that it was so tough or so hard. Or what was that journey like for you, so that you know, you started out, you were doing yoga, then you had these moments, and then how did you feel you were able to sustain yourself holding on to that, your own divine light?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there you need a bridge between yourself and God, and until you're fully ready to surrender, that bridge is not fully available for you. I feel like there's a lot of people that give lip service to these ideas of, well, I'm whole and everything I do is complete and all that sort of stuff. And the truth of it is that deep inside of themselves, they're not ready to surrender. That they're good with their affirmations, they're good with their list of things they want to accomplish, but to really build, you don't even need to build the bridge. The bridge is available for you. God is speaking to all of us. He wants us all to hear his voice. He wants us all to hear his voice. There isn't a single person on this earth that isn't loved and cherished in the eyes of God. But the problem with us is that we exist on the level of the ego. We exist on the level where we want to have control over the experience of our life. And as long as we're operating in that paradigm, as long as we're not able to say, really, God's will be done, then we're not ready to say yes to that bridge. And God is extending that gift to all of us, open and free. And the only path to that constant direct experience of God is through surrender. You can't work for it. You can't earn your worthiness for it. You can only surrender into it. And through the act of surrender, through the act of saying yes to God's will, to God's gift in the world, then we can build faith. We can start to finally have faith, both in God, but more specifically in ourselves, you know, because it's really only when we see ourselves the way that God sees us that we truly understand who we actually are. Those words, I am complete and I am whole, carry weight until you see yourself in the eyes of God. And until you see yourself as God sees you, you can say that to yourself again and again and again, and the ego will always come in and sabotage your best attempts at finding firm ground in your life. You can think you're on the best course. You can do all the yoga in the world. You can meditate every day, and you can put your leg behind your head and do 2,000 handstands. But if you're not able to see yourself as God sees you, then there will always be something missing. There will always be a seed of unworthiness. There will always be a seed of trauma or hurt that will keep you separated from God. And that's what we really have to let go of. We really have to trust that who we are is worthy.
Enough.
We have to trust that on a very deep and fundamental level. And here's the thing, is that we are comfortable working for things, you know, and you have to work for things on the material world. So we're comfortable with that, you know, get up in the morning, do your practice, you know, accomplish these 25 things. And this is the way the material world works, but the spirit world is not like that. And the kernel of worthiness exists on the level of our spirit world and of our spirit body. So it's like, you know, the sun doesn't need to be worthy to shine. That's just what it does. It's not that, and you don't need to be worthy to still go outside and stand and receive a ray of sunshine. That's just who you are. That's just your birthright. And in the same way, that connection to God is our spiritual inheritance. And mm-hmm. when the time comes, when you are ready to say yes, when you are ready to say yes to the gift that God has to offer to you, then the truth will be presented, will be revealed to you. And you just have to say yes to it.
Well, I mean, that is such a so powerful, because what everything was beautiful. What stood out for me in it is that it's that whole message, your deepest message of it's within ourselves. And I think that when we're struggling to surrender to God, surrender to Spirit, surrender to the divine, it really comes down to that we have not allowed ourselves through the ego, through fear, through pain, through heartache, whatever it is that's keeping us stuck in that dense part. We can't get inside of ourselves deep enough to know what God is. Not believe in God, but to know what our divine spark mm-hmm. is. And that moment when we have that first-hand knowledge that this is it, it's no longer I believe, it's I know. And in that moment when you know, then that surrender, and that's not easy to know it, because we put so many walls up and so many barriers through, again, our fear, our pain, our heartache. And when I'm working with people, I constantly see the way that they are stuck in trying to defend their pain, and mm-hmm. because not having any other tools. And then the message, of course, is that, which I just love, is that we have to go through those layers, and they're deep within us is always this divine light. And then through that lens, we can, and that the lens of God is allows us to know we're worthy. Because in my work, and I know you would see this in what you're doing, and anyone who's doing, you know, going to the inner core, the bottom line that people struggle with, when you break it down, it always comes back to, I am not good enough. And the only mm-hmm. way you can ever know we're good enough is through that divine light. And so what you're doing is so powerful.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel that when, as long as we're in the world where we're identifying with our problems and we are, yes. you know, we're personalizing our struggle, then it becomes very hard to have a transcendent experience of you know, the equanimous mind that's not disturbed by the pleasures and pains of life. As long as we're personalizing the struggle or identifying with our pleasures mm-hmm. and pains, then we're sort of caught in this cycle of the ego. And this is where the yoga practice becomes really a path to God realization. It becomes a path towards that, because it teaches you, first of all, how to become non-attached to our pleasures and pains. And that, I think, is a very important first step for many people, because we get caught in, again, this personalized struggle of the ego. And when we personalize our problems and we make them, you know, sort of unique and special, then it's in many ways we get attached to that identity and we get locked down into it. But through the practice of yoga, the first step is cultivating the equanimous mind. So you recognize that you are not your attachments to pleasure, you are not your aversions from pain, you're not your experience, you're something beyond that. And then once you have that as sort of a basis, then the vehicle for the experience of God is presented. And then it's able to, you're able to go a little bit deeper. You're able to build trust and faith. You're able to, take that sort of brave step into surrender.
Well, how much do you, because, I mean, when we're watching, like, the trend of yoga now, it's so much become, you know, physical fitness. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it can manifest in different ways and whatever's right for people. How much do you feel that message is being cultivated in the community, or do you feel that there has become, it's become more superficial?
Well, I feel that, honestly, that everything happens sort of as it's meant to happen, right? I don't feel mm-hmm. that we need to sort of it's inspiration that draws people to the spiritual path. So mm-hmm. if you come to the practice, my teacher, Patabi Joyce, he always said that yoga is working, even if you're unaware
right.
of it, you know? So
yep.
you don't need to be in downward dog and have someone give you a lecture about God realization. You are there. your breathing, even if you just came there because you wanted to, you know, you just joined it as a fitness class in your gym, it is working through you. And that's sort of the magic of the practice is you, mm-hmm. it helps if you have the spiritual intention, but even if you don't, just the fact mm-hmm. that you're showing up every day and you're doing the mm-hmm. postures, that in mm-hmm. and of itself begins to sort of plant a kernel of doubt in the fluidity of our manifested world. So oftentimes we build up our conceptions of self, you know, around either shape of our body, our age, our national or cultural heritage, our car, our clothes, these sorts of things. And just from the fact of holding your body in a different shape in the yoga posture, there's a seed or a kernel of doubt that gets inserted in that thick veneer through just a vehicle of practice. So I think when students get that inspiration of, oh, I feel different when I practice, you know, my body feels different, your body feels different, then you have different emotional awarenesses, and then slowly you get inspired to go deeper and deeper into the practice. And I think mm-hmm. that's the way that the practice has always worked, you know. My teacher said that we start with asana, we start with the physical practice, and then we build mm-hmm. up from there. Again, it's always through the vehicle of inspiration that we build, and it's never really sort of just thrown down someone's throat from the beginning. It's a slow, steady build-up.
I'm really happy that you shared that, because I think that there can be that kind of confusion, or, you know, people have those kind of questions. I've heard people say that because, mm-hmm. like, where is just even understanding what it is. I mean, I practiced yoga for a very long time, and I've always been spiritually inclined, and my work is inner work. And actually, I mean, I work with yoga instructors who have done my work, and they'll describe it as emotional yoga. And I remember doing yoga, and I was like, oh, this is, it felt like, you know, another extension of what I do. And I do know that one time when I was trying to fix an injury, and it became much more, because I was trying to aligning myself. And that was so powerful. So even though I was really working it just for that element of just grand alignment, that alignment in my physical body allowed the spiritual channels to just move. Yeah, like you could just exactly. feel the energy moving. So I totally see, mm-hmm. and I thank you for sharing that, because that can just break through a lot of the confusion or questions that people have. Because it's true, mm-hmm. when yoga aligns, well, that's my experience for sure, that aligning of the body through the postures, that alone creates just a flow and an energy, I'm on a high for the day just by that, even without even adding on those other pieces, and that allows you, starts, opens up that gateway to
right.
find that divine light. And one thing I definitely want to talk about, because I know we're going to be wrapping up soon, I love your message, by the way, that when you keep saying, because, you know, just do 5 minutes, just make it a practice.
Right.
Tell
right.
us a little bit more about that.
Well, I feel that what happens is we get this all-or-nothing approach to the practice. Like, I've either got to do a 90-minute full-on sweaty practice or nothing at all. You know, so it becomes this all-or-nothing thing. And you know what? That's not realistic for most people. We're going to have busy days, and sometimes you're going to have 5 minutes to practice, and that's all you have. Or sometimes you're going to have an hour and a half and a lot of free time. Regardless of what time you have to do the practice, as little as 5 minutes can make the difference in your day. And I feel that 5 minutes is something that everyone can take, you know, even if you're, you know, you have a newborn baby, 90 minutes sounds completely ridiculous. If you're caring for an aging parent, it's going to be impossible, you know. But 5 minutes, when the baby managed to fall asleep, you know, your aging parent is resting a little bit, you can take those 5 minutes and take them for yourself, whether it's 5 minutes just to concentrate on the breath, or it's, you know, 2 sun salutation A, and then you lie down, and then that's enough, that's fine. And, you know, you took even that little bit of time. It's just like saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to carve out these 5 minutes because I'm worth this. And then the second thing that it says is it sort of gives a message to God that says, I'm listening. I'm here. I'm available. So you set the spiritual intention of your day, and at the same time you affirm your worthiness of even just that little bit of time. And then on the days that you have more, well, great. You know, then you pause and appreciate it. But, you know, and again, I guess it all comes down really to surrender, because if you have 5 minutes a day and you embrace it and it's okay, then you surrender into that. But you have an hour and a half and you embrace it, you surrender into that. And the trick is that when you have a 90-minute a day practice, you don't sit there and beat yourself up for the 5-minute a day practice the day before, and you know, vice versa. So you literally surrender to exactly what is your experience, and that gets rid of that all or nothing mentality, which I feel creates this big pass or fail test where we're always, here's this big test we're trying to pass, and then we fail and we judge ourselves harshly and we confirm that we weren't good enough. And so it's this sort of downward spiral where if you just let yourself off the hook and you just say, you know what, it doesn't need to be this big stressful thing. It's just 5 minutes a day and I can do that and I'm worth that. You know, you can go to the bathroom and lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes if necessary, you know. People think you're just taking your time in the bathroom and you can be meditating and no one even knows, you know?
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I think it breaks through that whole mindset that we have to, like I said, that perfectionism mindset that plagues mm-hmm. so many of us, and therefore then we never create traction and create movement, and just that every little thing is enough. We're making every action, every effort enough, and so we mm-hmm. develop more worth. So that takeaway is so powerful. And as we wrap up here, and I'm delighted to have you, Keena, and I could talk to you more and more and more. So, however, can you just give the listeners just a final takeaway that they can you know, get just so much more connected to all of the beauty that's inside of them?
Listen with your heart every day and ask for guidance and wait for the answer. Use the vehicle of your practice as a direct path to the experience of the truth of who you really are. And when you get the experience, you get the invitation to experience God directly and build a permanent bridge or accept the permanent bridge to his presence in your life, remember that all you have to do is say yes.
Well, that's incredibly moving. Surrender and is just, I agree, you know, we have to let go in order to allow and not to be afraid of our vulnerability, because once you're in mm-hmm. divine presence, then you are safe, and that safety comes from divine, not mm-hmm. by shutting down your heart and closing yourself off. That just keeps you mm-hmm. more vulnerable, whereas being in your heart mm-hmm. and being connected to something divine makes you powerful. That's a beautiful message. And to the listeners out there, we want more Keena, so check her out. She has an amazing YouTube channel. Just type in Keena Yoga on YouTube and you'll find her. Her website, Miami Life Center, is full of tips and incredible videos and so much beautiful things. And Keena's message is just one that we all really need to hear, and provides so much insight into beautiful living. She also has her Miami Yoga magazine. She's on Instagram, Keena Yoga, everywhere. So, and she's in the message board below, but that's Kino Yoga. Keena, you've been a blessing. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being a beacon of light in this world. Keep spreading your joy, and it's a blessing to have you here today.
Thank you. I would just add, for anyone who wants to start yoga, that I host monthly Instagram yoga challenges, and it's a great way to just get on your mat and join an international community of yogis. And you can check that out on yogachallenge.com to join. You know, I think we have between 5,000 and 10,000 people practicing in the challenges each month. It's a great community to join.
I'm going. I didn't know about the Instagram awesome. One. I know I know about your YouTube channel, but I wasn't that aware.
Yeah.
But so thank you for sharing. It's global. It's creating so much opportunity for everyone everywhere, and mm-hmm. it's very impressive. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's been a gift. Thank you. Many blessings.
You too. And to everyone listening.
Thank you. Well, we've had a beautiful time with Keena today, and her insights and her wisdom and her knowledge about sharing the understanding of truth lies within us, beauty lies within us, love lies within us. We need to connect with our heart. Let's make it an intention and a commitment to ourselves this week, next week, the whole month, to stay connected to our hearts, to open our hearts up to love, and to allow that divine light that is our truth to shine. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights in how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, drnicolabird.com. Join my mailing list. You will get incredible tips and tools to create the amazing life that you deserve. thank you always for tuning in. Spread the joy and share out in the limb with all your friends and family. And do keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out in that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Burr. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out in the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.
Let's take that mission on just opening ourselves up. This is Dr. Nicola Bird, and I thank you so much for being here with me today. And remember, sometimes you do have to go out on that limb to enjoy the happy, healthy, and successful life you deserve. Have a wonderful day. See you here tomorrow for another exciting and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.